Today we celebrate Veterans Day. It's a day that's set aside each year to pay tribute to all our American veterans, both living and deceased. And as Virginia stated just a moment ago, what we now call Veterans Day was originally called Armistice Day. Armistice Day was held at the one-year anniversary on November 11th at the end of World War I. In 1926, Congress passed the bill for an annual observance of this day, and later on in 1938, it became a national holiday. In 1954, President Eisenhower officially changed the name from Armistice Day to Veterans Day, and that's what you and I know it as today, and that's what the generations grew up today, but it did begin as Armistice Day. And so today is a special day. And it's a day that we do honor our veterans. And as I began to pray and think about this holiday and the direction God would have me to go on this day, I thought about a lot of different passages of Scripture. But one Scripture that God continually brought to my mind was a Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. And it is this Scripture: "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Now you can see I've bolded that here on our projection because that's the portion of the Scripture that God continued to bring to my mind, that he being dead yet speaketh. And the reality is those who have gone before us, just like in this situation, Abel had gone on, slain by Cain, but Abel's life still had a voice and it still speaks to us even today. Those of us who have known loved ones and had loved ones, and those who went before us to fight, even though they're dead and they're no longer with us, they paid the ultimate sacrifice, they still have a voice. Their life is their voice, and it cries out to us today, and it them being dead yet speaketh. And as I began to think about that, I began to ask myself, well, what are they saying to us? If we could go back and we could somehow communicate with those that have gone before, what is the message that they would relay to us today in 2018 on Veterans Day? What would they say? And that's when God brought my mind to this Scripture that we find in our Scripture text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8, that says this: "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." Now, Paul wrote these words to the church at Thessalonica, and he was trying to encourage them to continue in the faith and to the teachings and things that they had instilled into them. But today on Veterans Day, I think if you and I could go back and talk to the soldiers who died, no matter what conflict or war it was in, I think that they would tell you that they continue to live on only if you and I stand for the same things that they stood for. Our standing continues to allow their death and their sacrifice to have meaning and to have substance. Sometimes in the midst of all the things that we have going on in peace times, and we, for the most part, live in a peaceful time, sometimes we forget that our nation is still engaged in a war on terror, a war that, honestly, I don't know will ever end. But the reality is sometimes we here in the United States, it's been so long since our nation has ever really been invaded at all. And when we were, it was very minimal. But the truth is sometimes we forget in the midst of peace and blessing, the sacrifice that has been given. And as I began to think about it, I began to look and recall to my mind some of the sacrifices that were given by our veterans. And I began to think about the Revolutionary War, where we fought to take away the strings and the grapple hold, if you will, that England had on us, and we began to fight as a nation. Did you know that 6,800 United States soldiers were killed in battle in the Revolutionary War? Did you know that 6,100 U.S. soldiers were wounded? That's over 12,000 soldiers that were either killed or wounded in the battle of the Revolutionary War. And 8,000 to 12,000 soldiers died as prisoners of war. Those are the people who died They're the ones who, being dead, yet speaketh. I began to think about the Civil War. The Civil War, as I began to study, and I guess I just never really thought about it, and it's been a long time since I've been in U.S. history, but as I began to look, I began to see that the Civil War was the most deadly of the wars that we fought. And isn't there a great application to the fact that the greatest wounds that we endure are from those who are our brothers and sisters? It's not the enemy, so to speak, out in the world that's attacking us, but it's those of our own family. Whether it's blood relation family or our church family, there is a great deadly work that goes on when we fight against one another. And it was true in the Civil War. Around 620,000 soldiers died from combat, accident, starvation, or disease from that conflict that we had with our brothers and sisters. They're the voices that being dead yet speak. I began to think about World War I. And in World War I, 116,500 U.S. soldiers died in combat. 320,000 U.S. soldiers were wounded in the First World War. Then I began to think about World War II. And in World War II, 407,300 United States soldiers died fighting in the Second World War. Their voices, yet being dead, they speak to us today. I began to think about the Korean War. In the Korean War, there were some 36,000 American soldiers that died. Some may say, well, it wasn't a big war, but you think about 36,000 soldiers that died. 36,000 sons, 36,000 brothers, or 36,000 husbands or wives, 36,000 people. The Vietnam War, 58,000 American soldiers died. And over 1.1 million Americans have been killed in war. Today in Veterans Day, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about trying to honor the lives of those 1.1 million Americans that have laid down their lives so that you and I could sit here today in freedom with one another without persecution and love one another. So that you and I can live in nice homes and we can drive nice vehicles and we can have a society that is not completely controlled by our government. And as we think about those 1.1 million lives that died, those fallen soldiers, they only live on if you and I stand for the truth. And today, that's what I want to talk to you about. They say to us from the grave, we live if you'll stand. Our sacrifice meant something if you stand. Us leaving home and going into a foreign field to do things that we never imagined we'd have to do, it was worth it if you stand. You say, Pastor, what in the world does any of this have to do with my walk with God? As I continue to think about Veterans Day, Veterans Day is about honoring soldiers, is it not? When we read the Bible, it teaches us that as Christians, we're soldiers of the cross. We are laborers in a battle. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in chapter 2, verse 25, and he says this. He says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Paul says Epaphroditus was a fellow soldier. He writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, and says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Philemon chapter 1, verse 2 says this, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. God's word says that we are soldiers on a foreign field. It's not Vietnam, it's not Korea, it's not Europe, but we're soldiers. This world is not my home. Heaven's my home. Heaven's your home if you're a believer in Christ. We're foreigners, we're pilgrims, we're strangers here fighting a battle. Sometimes we forget that. But just as young men would put on a camouflage uniform and they would get on a plane and fly to a foreign destination, and then they would get on a helicopter, or they would get on a Chinook, or they would get on some kind of plane and that would take them in and drop them into a foreign field. God has dropped you and I into a foreign field to fight the fight of the gospel. You say, Pastor, we're soldiers, but does the Bible say anything about our war? It certainly does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul writes this to the church at Corinth. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds." 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Now, as Christians, our warfare is not fought with bullets and guns, but that does not mean that it is any less severe. It does not mean that there are any less wounded or that there are any less casualties. I demonstrated for you and showed you illustrations of the great casualties that we've experienced as a nation, but there's also some casualties that we've experienced as brothers and sisters in Christ. In Acts chapter 6 and 7, there was a man by the name of Stephen who God was using mightily. But in Acts chapter 6 and 7, it tells us the story how that Stephen was lied on, and Stephen had false accusations brought on, and even to such extent that they paid other people to come and lie about Stephen and to say that he was blaspheming God. And what happened? The people ended up stoning him. Stephen was stoned in the war for our faith. History tells us of others who died. Andrew and Simon Peter, both disciples, were both crucified upside down because they said they're not worthy to be crucified the same way of our Lord. Now you think about that. You think about the commitment of men to following Jesus Christ, that they would not only get to the place where they said, "Well, we're going to kill you if you don't deny Christ," but they said, "That's fine, you can kill us, but don't kill us the same way you killed him, because we're not worthy to be crucified. We're not worthy to die in the same manner that he died. That's how holy he is. That's how righteous he is. That's how much he means to us." They died in this war. A man by the name of Polycarp, thought to be a disciple of John the Baptist, somewhere between AD 155 and 167, refused to burn incense to the Roman emperor, and he was burned at the stake. But while he was burned, he did not die. They burned him at the stake, but he didn't die, and they later had to come and stab him in the heart to kill him. Martyred for our faith. John Wycliffe, the 14th century theologian who translated the Latin Vulgate into English, he stood against the rule of the Roman Catholic Church, and they hated him to such extent. Now listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. They hated him to such extent, they exhumed his body and burned his dead body at the stake with his writings. Don't tell me we're not in a war. You say, "Oh, Pastor, but that's so old." The Center for the Study of Global Christianity, an academic research center that monitors worldwide demographic trends in Christianity, estimates that between the years 2005 and 2015, that there were 900,000 Christians martyred across the world. That's 90,000 a year. That's not AD 155. That's between 2005 and 2015. Christians martyred in the world. But you see, we're so blessed in America. If we're not careful, we forget that there are those who are laying down their lives for the things that we take for granted. There are those who would gladly walk a mile or 2 miles barefooted through some jungle to hear somebody preach the gospel and to hear the truth of Jesus Christ. But yet sometimes we're not even willing to get up on a Sunday morning and get in an air-conditioned car and drive on paved roads and sit on padded pews and sit in an air-conditioned room to hear the gospel message. The reality is this, folks, we are blessed. God has blessed these United States. But he's blessed us because of those who have gone on, both those that fought in the military for our freedoms and those who have fought and laid down their lives for our faith. But they only live if we stand. You understand? Everything that they died for is in vain if we don't stand for those truths. And may I say to you this morning, my heart is burdened about the direction of our nation. My heart is burdened about the direction of the church. I've got a little girl, she's 19 months old, and her daddy won't be with her always. Her mama won't be with her always. And one day she'll grow up and she'll have children. My grandchildren. And they'll have children. My great-grandchildren. And you see, if I fail to stand today, I destroy their future. I keep them from having the freedoms and the joy of knowing Jesus and knowing the freedoms that I have today. You say, preacher, why are you so wound up? Preacher, why are you so stirred up? Because it's our life, folks. We've been handed the baton. And today is the day that we need to stop clowning around. We need to stop playing around with the Word of God and our service for Christ and say, no, today I'm going to learn and I'm going to stick my feet in the ground and I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to stand for truth. And they can try to take my freedoms away, but I'm not going to let them take my freedoms away because I know that there's 1.1 million soldiers that went on a foreign soil to fight for a battle I can fight here at home. And there are men and women who went before us. You know why we have a Bible today? Because somebody fought so that we could have a Bible. But you know what we do? We shut it up, get in the car, flip it on the dash. I'll see it next week. Somebody died so that we could have that. I'm not mad at you this morning. I'm mad at the devil this morning. I'm mad that our society has fallen so far from the truth. I spent some time alone and had some time to think. I was thinking about the message today. I was thinking about our world today. And I thought to myself, you know what? What would our forefathers think of what we've done with their country? What would they think about the things that we stand and fight for? The things that we've allowed to come down the pike? You see, my daddy and my grandfather were and still are two of my heroes. When I was young, a lot of what I did and what I didn't do was because I didn't want to disappoint them or I wanted them to be proud of me. And you and I, even though we don't know many of those forefathers, man, they fought for us. And we live in the glory of the things that they fought for. Jesus came so that we could have freedom, so that we could have life, so that we could have hope. And the reality is, we're so flippant in our dedication to Him. I'm so flippant in my dedication to Him. They only live if we stand. They only live if we stand. If we could get back in our country, which is a mess right now, it's a mess. And I don't care who you put in the White House. I don't care who you put in the Senate seat. I don't care who you put in the House of Congress. My prayer is that God gets back in the White House. And I don't care who He sends. I don't care what party He's a part of. I want God back in the White House, and I want God back in the Congress, and I want God back in the Senate. Some people that'll stand up and stand for the truth. That's my prayer. But the reality is this. If we could get the people in our culture as passionate about serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and promoting Him as they are about promoting some candidate for a position, the world would be a different place, folks. I mean, I see people fighting like Trojans for a candidate. They take stuff out, and you talk about being rude.
Here, come vote for my candidate. Vote for my candidate. Vote for my candidate. Don't vote for this person. Don't vote for that person. Don't vote for that person. I got a stake in my yard and another stake in my yard and another stake in my yard. I'm flying a banner on my vehicle. All for some man who's going to go in office and, let's be honest, do a whole lot of nothing, because that's what they all do. I don't preach on politics. I'm not preaching Republican, Democrat. I'm talking about in general. But there is one who can do something. His name's Jesus. And he's calling on his people today. He said, look, fly my banner. Promote me. The world's dying and going to hell. And the reality is, if we continue on the path that we're going, as Pastor Fullerton talked about on homecoming, direction always determines destination. And the direction that our nation is heading is towards a destination of godlessness and no freedoms for God's people. And me, for one, I don't want to see my little girl grow up and not be able to come to church. I don't want to see my little girl not be able to have a Bible, or have to hide a Bible, or have to walk down some back alley and down a back room to meet in some little room somewhere, hoping that the government doesn't come in and take and beat them with sticks and all kinds of things. But that starts today. And today, my sermon to you is this. They live if we stand. Will you stand with me? And as a congregation, and say, you're not taking any more. You can gripe, you can cuss, you can fuss, you can do whatever you want to, but you're not taking any more. You're not taking any more of my freedoms. You're not going to take my Bible anymore. You're not going to take prayer away anymore. You're not going to take free speech and witnessing anymore. And devil, you can't take any more of my life either. Because I'm planting myself in the house of God. You may tell you where that stand begins. You know what Peter says? Peter says judgment must begin where? In the house of God. This is where we can change the world. Not because of our might, but because of His might. And if we as a people, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if we as a people will humble ourselves and what? And pray. And we'll repent and ask God to forgive our sins and cleanse ourselves, then He'll hear from heaven and He'll heal our land. Today, our stand begins not by standing, but by kneeling. And the invitation today is this. If you'd like to see God preserve wonderful things we've got. You say, I'm willing to stand. Me and my family, we're willing to stand. And we give the invitation in just a moment. I hope you'll join me in this altar and pray and ask God to give us the strength and the courage to stand up, because it's not going to be easy, folks. But you know something? It wasn't easy for those soldiers dropped off in the jungle or dropped off in Eastern Europe. But they did it anyway. Man, I've thought about some of those. And some of you guys were there. I've thought about when I was 18 years old. Man, I went off to college and got so homesick I couldn't hardly stand it at times. They didn't hand me an M16 and a backpack and drop me off where somebody's going to shoot at me. Thank God somebody did. Somebody pushed down and choked down that fear every day, and they clicked that safety off, and they fought the enemy so that I wouldn't have to. And today is mine and your time. It's time to click the safety off of our faith and get ready to go to war, because the reality is God said that the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. A gate is not an offensive weapon. A gate is a defensive weapon, meaning that the church should be charging forward. The church should be moving forward. And when we do, God says it will not prevail. You will have victory. You will be victorious. But we won't be victorious if we stay on our heels and retreat. Today, it's time for you and I to get on our toes and start trying to move forward with the gospel and start trying to have faith and start trying to take things seriously and say, God, I'm here. Use me, God. Help me to stand in my time so that future generations can stand and enjoy what I've enjoyed. We live if you stand. Let's bow our heads in prayers.